Numbers chapter 1 to 4, the tabernacle. Now I've spoken on the Levites, and I've said about their importance, how they play a major role in the life of Israel, in the camping, in the handling of the tabernacle, in the dismantling of it, the transport of it, and all the rest of it, how they were a special people to God. But the truth is, the Levites are only special because of their connection to the tabernacle. It's the tabernacle which is the important thing here. Now, it's all shadowy, it's all symbolic, of course, but the tabernacle speaks volumes. Now, the book of Numbers opens, chapter 1, verse 1. Look where it opens. The tabernacle, the tent of meeting, the tent of assembly, the place where God met with his people and where the Lord spoke to his people here. Chapter 1, verse 1. Numbers opens on this high note, setting the tabernacle at the very center of the Jewish system of the Hebrew people, the nation, their religious experience, their walk with God, the tabernacle, the tabernacle. Now, it's all a shadow, it's all a picture, it's all an illustration. God can't be confined to a box. Solomon realized this. He said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, much less this temple which I built, when he came to build the temple, the permanent form of the tabernacle. How can a building contain God? Now, in the Old Covenant, the tabernacle and the temple played a major role, building and place. These are absolutely gone now in the New Covenant. One of the marks of our apostasy and our ignorance today is the emphasis we place upon buildings, upon church buildings. There's nothing like this in the New Testament. But here we are in the Old Covenant, and we see the tabernacle, but it's the symbolic meaning of it for us. But what was it for Israel? It was the tabernacle of appointment. It was the place where God met with his people. It was absolutely central at the very heart of the Jewish system. It was a vital building above all else. When I say building, it was only a temporary building. The temple itself was permanent until it was destroyed, of course, by Babylon. Well, the Israelites had to camp around the tabernacle. Do you notice that? Chapter 2, verse 1. They didn't camp anywhere. They didn't higgledy-piggledy, just as you like. They had to camp in special order, but around the tabernacle. That's the point I'm making in this discourse. The tabernacle was at the very center of everything. You can see them facing the tabernacle. When they came out of their tents in the morning, what could they see? The tabernacle. They had to keep their distance from the tabernacle, though. They couldn't just come up to it and play around with it. It was at the center of their system, chapter 2, verse 17. But all was symmetrical around it. It was the pinnacle of their system. And they all looked at it and turned toward it. And when they moved, it was the very center of their marching orders. They had to take the tabernacle right in the very center of the ranks so that it was protected. It played a major role in all their system. And of course, when spiritual Jews were away from the tabernacle or away from the temple, and they could no longer visit the tabernacle or see the tabernacle or temple, grief hit them. You'll find this in Psalm 42 and 43. Oh, I long, says David, to go up again to the house of God. When will I see the house of God? You see, he's in the wilderness or somewhere, in some hold or something, being chased away from Jerusalem. When can I get back to the house of God? And of course, you have Psalm 137. When we're away, we're in Babylon. We hang our harps on the willows. They prayed towards the tabernacle. Daniel did, you remember. He opened his windows toward the tabernacle. Solomon prayed like this that when the Jews were away from Jerusalem, they should look towards Jerusalem and the temple. None of that comes over into the New Testament. I know it comes over into the churches today. Windows and candles and robes and vestments and buildings and special times and places and all the rest of it. Feasts and I don't know what. But all that is a shadow and summed up in one way. And what is that way? Christ. Christ is all. Colossians 3:11. Read the letter to the Hebrews and see. The tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the Sabbath, the altar, the candlestick, the bread, everything is Christ, is Christ, is Christ. Jesus is the place where we meet with God. God meets us in Christ. But Christ is more than the meeting place. He is the priest, but he's more than the priest. He is the sacrifice. He is the altar. He is all. Christ is all. This is the lesson I see in the book of Numbers. The tabernacle was central. Christ must be central. The pulpit, yes, but only because Christ speaks to us in his word. It is Christ that is central. It's not the pulpit even. It is Christ himself. We gather around Christ. He must be central. He must be at the very heart of our system. Well, this is what we have here. Remember the temple housed the Ark of God. You remember how David in 2 Samuel 6 and so on, and others, Samuel, and all the places how the Ark, and Chronicles brought the Ark back. You know how these things worked in the Old Covenant, the restoration of the temple and the Ark and so on. You remember Ichabod under Samuel, and you remember David in Chronicles with the bringing back of the Ark. It was all so symbolic and so important. Where is Christ today? Christ must be in our preaching. Christ must be in our Lord's Supper. Christ must be in our prayer meetings. Christ must be in our lives. Christ must be in our assemblies. Christ must be in our hearts. Christ is all. That is what I see here. The tabernacle. And in the new covenant, Christ. May we all know Christ and exalt Christ. And be camped around Christ and look to Christ. May Christ be all in all to us. For Christ's sake. Amen.